Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 1, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. If you're glad to be saved, say amen. John chapter number 1. And I want to read one verse to you, and then I'll give you the thought this morning. The Bible said this: the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's a short verse. Let's read it again. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. I think it's interesting what he called him right there. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, I love you today. Thank you, God, for being good to us. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us to recall, Lord, the things that we've studied. God, I pray, Lord, that you would, Father, help us not just recall the things that we've studied, but God, I pray, Lord, you'd even bring to our remembrance, Father, things and verses that we've not even looked at in recent days. God, I pray that you would get supreme glory and honor out of the message today. God, I know nothing I can say and nothing I can do would help anybody. So, God, please help us today to uplift you and to magnify you. And, God, we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated today. I love reading the book of John. Matter of fact, whenever someone gets saved or someone gets back in church, I always recommend, they'll ask, if they ask me, Preacher, where should I start reading in my Bible? I always recommend them to go to the book of John and read through the book of John. It's in the book of John that we really get to know who Jesus is. If there's one chapter that I believe could paint the main portrait for the book of John, it is chapter number 1. It's so interesting in chapter number 1 to see all of who Jesus is. You'll find in studying chapter number 1, He's the Word, He's the Light, He's the Christ, the Lamb, the Son of God, the Master, the King, and the Son of Man. I would say this, in chapter number 1, you see Him and reproducing as the Word. You see the Light, it's revealing. You see the Christ, registering. You see the Lamb, He's redeeming, amen. You see the Son of God representing. The Master is receiving. The King, He is reigning. And can I just say this to you today? He still reigns today, amen. You see the Son of Man as He is remaining in verse number 51. So the first chapter of the book of John really paints a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Whenever we come to John chapter number 1, we'll find that He refers to Him as the Lamb. For thousands of years, the world had one problem, and that one problem had one answer. The one problem was this: it was sin. The one answer was this: there was redemption through the blood. A lamb had to die. From the very beginning of the Old Testament, God established a truth that would echo through every generation. Sin requires sacrifice. Think about this. In Genesis chapter number 3, God clothed man with skins of an innocent sacrifice. In Genesis chapter number 4, a lamb was accepted while the work of man's hands was rejected because God required blood and not effort. What about Genesis 22? A promise was given and was said this: God will provide Himself a lamb. When we roll in to Exodus chapter number 12, it's one of the greatest pictures of it in the Old Testament. The death angel is going to pass by, and the only way that the firstborn would be saved was by what? The blood of the lamb. Matter of fact, the Bible said this in Exodus chapter number 12. It said, there was a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. You see, a lamb is a potential sacrifice. The lamb is a public sacrifice. But when we see your lamb, it is a personal sacrifice. Can I say to you today, I'm glad that there was a potential sacrifice on Calvary that day. I'm glad that there was a public sacrifice on Calvary that day. But can I say today, I'm glad that he is a personal sacrifice. He just didn't die for the sin of the world. He died for my sin. He's just not the world's lamb. He's my lamb. It was very personal that day. I thought about this. Through the law, the message only intensified. Morning and evening sacrifice, continual offering, rivers of blood being shed. Every altar testified to the same truth. A lamb must die for the sin to be covered. By the time you reach the prophets, the picture is unmistakable. Isaiah said this in chapter 53. He is brought as what? A lamb to the slaughter. By then the Old Testament closes. But then the Old Testament closes. The final words are written in Malachi, and the voice of God grows silent. No prophets, no visions, no new words for heaven. And for 400 years, for 400 years, heaven says nothing. But in all of that time, sacrifice continues. Lamb after lamb is slain. Generation after generation waits. Every Passover, every offering, every priestly act whispered the same question, and here's what it is. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? You see, all throughout the Old Testament, they said a Lamb is on the way. A Lamb is on the way. A Lamb is on the way. Can I say something to you? For 400 years, it's been silent. For 400 years, they've not heard from heaven. For 400 years, they've been waiting. And when John sees Jesus, it's so interesting to note what he says. He don't say, "Behold the preacher." He don't say, "Behold the king." He doesn't say, "Behold the healer." He doesn't say, "Behold this or behold that." John reaches back through 400 years of silence to something that the Jewish people are very acquainted with, and that is a lamb. John says to him that day, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see, they was ready to welcome someone on the throne, but you'll never welcome him on the throne till you first meet him at the altar. John says, "Behold the Lamb." Behold what? The Lamb of God. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." This title points to Jesus' moral perfection, his sinlessness. For he was the Lamb without blemish and without spot, according to 1 Peter. It tells of his gentleness, his voluntary offering of himself to God on the behalf of sin. Matter of fact, Acts said this in chapter number 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He wasn't driven, he was led. Let me tell you the reason why. They didn't have to drive Jesus to the altar. They didn't have to hold him down on a cross. I'm telling you today, he went willingly. Why? Because he was going for your sin and for my sin. I thought about this. He was the Lamb which was taking away the sin of the world, and this could only be through death. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible said, there is no remission of sin. There is no remission of sin. John had saw everybody else that day, but there was something different when he saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Let me show you something this morning. That word "behold," I studied it this week, and here's what it means. It means to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. It doesn't mean to just glance, but rather to fix your eyes on him. It's not just that John was saying, Jesus is passing by, get a glimpse of him. No, John was saying this, fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus yourself on Jesus. You know what we do today? We focus ourselves on everything else. We come to church and we can't even be present in church. We're wondering what everybody else is doing and what's going on everywhere else. And John says, hey, what you need to do today is forget about the world. Forget about everybody else. Forget about the thoughts of everybody else. And focus your attention on him. You know, Isaiah in chapter number 5 didn't have his focus on Jesus. And you know what he says in Isaiah chapter number 5 numerous times? Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Go on and read your Bible. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. But chapter 6 rolls around of Isaiah, and you know what happens in chapter number 6? Isaiah sees the Lord. In other words, he beholds the Lamb. And you know what Isaiah said after he beheld the Lamb in Isaiah chapter number 6? Here's what he said. Woe is me. See, when we focus ourselves on him, when we behold him, when we quit looking at everybody else, I'm preaching good this morning. When we quit thinking about everybody else, when we quit trying to fix everybody else, and we focus ourselves on him, you know what we find out? Woe is me. Woe is me. Let's fix our attention on him for just a minute this morning. I would say, number one, behold the Lamb's book revealing. Behold the Lamb's book revealing. What did he say in chapter 1, verse number 1? He said in John 1, 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Can I tell you what we have today? We have the Lamb's book right here. It is the Word of God that I hold in my hand today. I'm going to tell you something about this book. It reveals. It reveals. Again, what did Isaiah do? He got his eyes on the Lord, and he said, woe is me. I thought about what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4. It said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of a soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The heart. You know, let me tell you what the Word of God will do. It'll show you the condition of your heart. It will show you who you really are. It's the Lamb's book revealing. What did he say in chapter number 3 of John? Here's what he said. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Don't you listen to what I'm fixing to say. You want me to tell you the reason some people don't read their Bible? Number one, it's because of laziness. Number two is because lack of self-discipline. I'm preaching good. Number three, you want me to tell you, Brother Josh, the reason some of them don't read their Bible? Because they find out who they really are. They don't like what they read. Because, is everybody awake this morning? Because this book right here will show you who you are. This book right here will show you how wicked you are. This book right here will show you how vile you are. This book right here will show you that we was dying and going to a place called hell. But for the Lamb, amen. Oh yes, it reveals. What did the Bible say in Romans chapter number 10? He said this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Hearing by what? The Word of God. It's the Lamb's book that reveals to us today who we are. Number one, I see the Lamb's book revealing. Number two, I'm headed to the last one. That's really where I want to preach, but stay with me. Number two, I see the Lamb's blood redeeming. Not only do we behold the Lamb and see His book revealing, but thank God His blood is redeeming today. His book revealed to me who I was. Can I say it that way? You hear me tell you the reason I knew I was lost? Because there's an old-time mountain preacher that ended up moving to Atlanta, Georgia, named Joe Arthur, stood up in youth camp and preached the Word of God, still preaching it today, one of my heroes, one of my favorite preachers. And you know what he done? He stood up and said that I'd die and go to hell in that youth camp. And the Word of God began resonating in my soul. I was lost. I was hopeless. I was without God. Oh, but thank God that book did not leave me there. It also said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what happened that night, July the 20th, 1994? Here's what happened. The book revealed who I was, but thank God the blood redeemed me from who I was. The Bible said this in Hebrews chapter number 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. If blood is not shed, there's no remission of sin. And I just say something to you. All throughout the Old Testament, something happened. The sacrifice covered the sin. The sacrifice covered the sin. You ever heard this statement? Now stay with me. Just stay with me. You ever heard this statement? My sins are blotted out by a thick cloud. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. I'm okay. That's where that's at. Let me tell you what happened at Calvary. My sins were no longer covered. You see, if something is covered, there is a possibility that it can be uncovered. Amen. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament, why did they go back time and time and time again? Here's the reason that they did. All it would do was cover the sin and cover the sin and cover the sin. Oh, but thank God when Jesus come out on the scene, John said, behold the Lamb of God, which what covereth sin? No, which taketh away the sin of the world. The blood of the Old Testament covered sin, but the blood of Jesus cleanses sin. It's gone now. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. You may remember them. You may try to bring them up. The devil may remember them and try to bring them up. I may remember them, but you go to the portals of glory today and ask Jesus Christ about it. He knows nothing about it. Why? Because He redeemed us with His blood. The Lamb's blood is redeemed. The Lamb's blood is redeemed. What did the songwriter say? I got a lot of stuff wrote down right there. I'm just going to skip over. What did the songwriter say? The songwriter said this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I sure am glad that he didn't put no stipulation on that blood either. I'm glad it's for whosoever will. I'm glad if you're here today and the book has revealed to you that you're lost, I'm glad that you fit into whosoever will. I'm telling you what will happen today. If you'll but ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, He'll come into your heart and He'll save you. The book will reveal it. The blood will redeem you. Number three, I see this and I'm done. I see the Lamb's book revealing. I see the Lamb's blood, or the Lamb's book revealing, the Lamb's blood redeeming. I want you to note this in closing. I see the Lamb's bride rejoicing. The Lamb's bride rejoicing. Let me tell you, if you've ever truly been saved by the grace of God, there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart. You see some of these people, My wife and I was talking about this the other day. You see some of these people, and every time you see them, they look like they've just lost their best friend. But Jonathan looked miserable all the time. I understand sometimes we're going to have a bad day. I mean, that's like they've had a bad life. Carry a Bible to church. But they look miserable. I mean, they look miserable. They stand up and try to serve God, but they're miserable. They're miserable. And sometimes I just can't help but to wonder if they just ain't a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because I'm going to tell you something. Is everybody all right there? I'm going to tell you something. And I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And I realized the condition that I was in. And I realized there was nothing I could do within myself. I was a hopeless cause within myself. But also through that book, I realized that Jesus loved me and Jesus cared for me. And it didn't matter where I had been or the life that I had lived, that Jesus cared. And that I fit in to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I fit in to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And that I fit in over there in Peter, where Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I realized that I fit into that. And I realized my good works would never take me to heaven. I realized this and this and this would never take me to heaven. And I was going to hell. But if I would repent of my sins, he would save me. I'm telling you right now, it produced joy in my heart. It produced joy in it. The Lamb's bride is rejoicing. You remember what the Bible said in Galatians chapter number 5, don't you? He talks about the what fruit of the Spirit, and he says one of them is this, joy. Joy. Say, preacher, it's been a bad day. Jesus is still good. Preacher, it's been a bad week. Jesus is still good. Preacher, it's been a bad month. I'm still saved. I'm still going to... I don't guess nobody else is this morning. I'm still saved. I'm still on my way to heaven. And you know what? In those bad days, in those dark days, when I don't know what to do, you know what I can do? I can run back to the book that not only revealed to me that I was lost, but it reveals to me that I have a heavenly Father that'll never leave me nor forsake me. And when I see that, I can't help but to say, God is good. Oh, yes, it's the Lamb's bride rejoicing. Go with me. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. I'm right now done. Miss Tanya, come pee. Revelation chapter number 4. Let's just look at his book a minute. Revelation chapter number 4. Oh, I love this. He said, after this, verse number 1. After this I looked, and behold, looky, looky, fix your eyes on this. A door was opened in the heaven. Man, I'd have liked to have been John right here. Amen. Look what he says. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me. Boy, I wish time would let us go back to Thessalonians and talk about that trumpet for just a minute. Amen. Look what he says. Which said, come up hither. You know what that means? If you saved, you leaving. No, preacher, I'm telling you right now, we're going through 3.5 years of this tribulation. You go through 3.5 years, you'll go through 7 years, and you'll die and go to hell. I ain't going through none of it. Praise God, it's plain and simple. Hey, the trumpet sounded, and we getting out. He said, come up hither. I got to keep reading, or we'll be here all day. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Amen. That's all right right there. It's all right to get in the spirit. Amen. Said immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now let me just tell you who that is. That is a type or a representation of the redeemed of the Lord. That's what that is. Can I just put it this way? That's us. Can I just say it like that? That's us. 12 from the old, 12 from the new. I don't have time to preach it all. But I'm telling you what it is. It's the redeemed of God. And you know where they're sitting at? They're sitting. Oh, yes. They're sitting around the throne. Sitting around the throne. Now, look what the Bible said. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast, the face of as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night. You know what they are? Here's what they are. They're fault-finding beasts. They got eyes all over them, eyes within and eyes without. They got eyes all over their wings, all over their face. They got eyes everywhere. You know what they're doing? They're looking at this throne that we sitting around. And they're trying to, well, I'm about to have church with or without you. They're trying to find fault. That's what they're doing. That's what they're looking for. Who are they looking at? Well, here's what they said. Bible said they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Watch this. The 24 elders. Who did I say that was? Us. Watch this. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within one of the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? In other words, they found this book and they need somebody to open the book. Everybody's been rejoicing. Everybody's been shouting. And all of a sudden, they're trying to find somebody to open the book. This loud, boisterous angel is running around going, who's worthy? Abraham, who's worthy? Isaac, who's worthy? Moses, who's worthy? Who's worthy? Who's worthy? Watch what the Bible says. Boy, I love the Bible. No man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, needed to look thereon. And I wept much. Can I just explain that in the Greek to you, in the low gap language? He ugly cried. He sniffled and snotted. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy. There isn't one. No man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Wonder which elder it was. That's another time, another story. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood, what? A lamb. I'm preaching on Behold the Lamb. I don't know if you remember that. John said there wasn't nobody worthy to. They looked all over it. There wasn't nobody worthy to open the book. He said they talked about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. But when I turned around to see this Lion, you want me to tell you what he saw? He said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. And the seven horns and the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And the seven horns and seven eyes were the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down, what? Before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. The Bible says, and I behold and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was about 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. Here's what they were saying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Go to verse 14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. You say, preacher, why did you say all of that? Here's the reason I said all of that. You know what we ought to be doing? We shouldn't wait till we get to heaven. Here's what we ought to be doing. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. He was. He is to come. It's a rejoicing bride. Why are they rejoicing? Because the book revealed who they was. And the blood. And the blood redeemed them from who they was. Oh yes. And because of that, we can say, you're worthy. Preacher, you don't know where I'm at in my life. He's worthy. Preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. He's worthy. Preacher, you don't know the soul. He's worthy. Preacher, you don't know my condition today. I'm lost. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my story. Hear me and hear me well. You know what this book says? This book says, and I even read it to you in Revelation chapter number 5, it's for everybody. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This book will reveal you're a sinner, but this book will reveal there's a Savior. That Savior made a sacrifice, and because of that, they should be rejoicing, springing up inside of your soul today, because He and He alone is worthy. He alone. John said, here's what you need to do. You need to focus your eyes on Him. If you don't hear nothing else I say today, listen to that again. You need to focus your eyes on Him. I'm getting two amens. You need to focus your eyes on Him. Quit looking at everybody else. Quit thinking about everybody else. Quit trying to fix everybody else. And realize you might just be a mess yourself. and get your eyes on Him, let me tell you what will happen. If you'll get your eyes on Him, you'll see that book. That book will reveal who you are. And through the blood of Christ, we've been made new. And when we realize that, let me tell you what it ought to make us do. I appreciate it, Lord. Thank you, God. You are worthy, Lord. You, nobody else is, but you are.